The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. William Hill's Racing Radio will have all of the action covered from 1:40 p.m. with cards from Haydock, Brighton and Yarmouth in the afternoon. In the evening we have action from Sandown, Newcastle and Wolverhampton. We also have an Irish card from Leopardstown for you to get involved with. The team on Thursday will be Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and Kevin O'Malley, who will be giving their betting insights onto all of the action. But to look ahead to Thursday's action, with racing from Brighton, Haydock and two races from Sandown, it's myself, Michael Wood, and Andrew Mount. Good afternoon, Andrew. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks, Michael. Got here a bit late, delayed by having to clear up a dead pigeon that one of the cats had brought in. So if you know any tips for getting rid of pigeon blood out of carpets, then please let me know.
It's never a pretty sight, is it, Andrew?
Certainly not. At least its head was on this time, so... Could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse. I thought before we delve into Thursday's action, Andrew, I thought it was worth taking a quick look at some of the key talking points in the racing world. And first of all, some interesting news with regards to the UK Flat Jockeys title. Ryan Moore has drifted out to 5-1 after deciding to take a break from racing. What are your thoughts on his decision to take a break?
Yeah, very sensible. I mean, Ryan Moore is no longer interested in winning the jockeys title, and I can't blame him for that. His wife's just given birth to a fourth child, I think, so certain things take priority over racing. And yeah, I can't blame him for taking a few days off. And I don't think he's a runner anyway in this particular race. He might win it by default if you know, one of the other main protagonists gets injured, but it's not important to jockeys once they've won it, the jockeys title, especially when you've got a job like he has. You just want to go around the world riding big race winners in for huge prize money, and racing up and down the country and riding at two meetings a day and trying to be the best jockey numerically is not a key issue.
Well, the latest prices for the UK Flat Jockeys Championship. Sylvester D'Souza is now the odds-on favourite at 1-4. James Doyle at 5s. And as we mentioned, Ryan Moore also at 5-1. Another point of discussion I thought was worth looking at, Andrew, is the fact that Aidan O'Brien is looking to dominate the Keeneland Phoenix Stakes once again this Sunday. He has 6 runners in the Group 1 race at the Curragh. And Caravaggio is the one that definitely catches the eye for many people in that race. Have you got any early thoughts or insights into that race?
Yes, Aidan O'Brien will probably win it. It's hardly breaking news. He's won it 7 times in the last 10 years. He had the 1-2 last year with Air Force Blue winning at 9-4 and Washington DC coming second at 10-1. He also had the 4th from his 3 runners. And Caravaggio, how impressive was this one at Royal Ascot, beating Maymas into second by 2.25 lengths. And of course, Maymas is sort of certainly franked that form by winning at Newmarket and Goodwood subsequently. Looks absolutely rock solid and likely to prove very hard to beat. I've not looked at the race in great detail, but I imagine the on the day the thing to do will be to look for another O'Brien horse to finish second to Caravaggio and do the forecast or have a go without the favourite.
Indeed. Well, let's get stuck into Thursday's action. We begin with the 3:30 at Brighton. It's an interesting one here. A nice Challenge Cup handicap. It's over 1 mile, 3 furlongs and 196 yards. 10 runners to choose from, Andrew. What would be your pick here?
I'm glad you've asked me, because I've done this race for the Racing Post Spotlights, and I've had a very good look at this race. I started off certainly interested by Lucy Wadham's Atwix. Stable's in fantastic form at the moment, and this one absolutely hacked up in an apprentice race at Epsom last time. Ran off a mark of 73 that day, and it's got a £6 penalty here. The only concern is that this might come a little bit too soon. That race was, say, only a week ago. And you look at this one's previous wins, one on debut. Second win came after a break of just over a month. And that last week, that Epsom win, came after a break of more than 2 months. So for a horse who's gone well fresh in the past, I just worry that this will come too soon. Looking at her previous record when trying to follow up a win, she's finished third of four and fourth of ten, so unplaced in both starts. So she's probably going to be a short price, I would have thought. So I'm going to take her on with what I'm hoping will be a double-figure price one. That's number five, Thames Knight, for Marcus Tregoning. And this one disappointed at Windsor last time, but it's got a terrible record on right-handed tracks, and I think it's 0 from 10 now. So, you know, was hardly disgraced anyway, finishing 5th at 16-1, beaten 3 lengths behind Rock Steady. But if you look at Thames Knight's record on left-handed tracks, he's only had 6 runs, 3rd, 3rd, 1st, 1st, 7th and 1st. And I'm quite happy to figure that 7th place on soft ground at Newbury a few runs back, as I'm not sure that flat galloping track would have suited. Certainly got form on undulating, sharpish tracks. They won at Epsom on penultimate start and won twice at Bath last summer. There's a slight concern that this extended mile 3 on rain softened going will stretch his stamina to the limit. But at what should be a decent price, I'm going with Thames Knight.
So Thames Knight, the pick in the 3:30 at Brighton. Let's move on to our second race of this podcast, looking at the 3:50 at Haydock. A nice handicap here, over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. 8 runners to choose from here. What would be the best bet?
Yeah, tricky race this, but interesting to look at recent winners. And 4-year-olds have certainly dominated in recent years. 5 of the last 6 winners were 4-year-olds, and it would have been 6, but for Spice Fair getting up by a neck last year, the 8-year-old. And there's only 2 4-year-olds in this race, the top 2 in the weights. And the one I was interested in was number 2, Trevisani, for the David Lanigan Yard. This one runs in the Chiefly Park colours. Was a winner at Kempton in a maiden last October in first-time blinkers, winning impressively by 4 lengths. And it's been a little bit disappointing in 2 handicap runs this year. Was 9-4 favourite on debut at Thirsk over a mile and a half, but sort of hung left in the closing stages and just plugged on into a moderate fourth. And then back at Kempton, scene of his sole win, could never strike a blow behind Kelvin Hall, finishing fourth, beating just over 2 lengths. But what's interesting is that the usual blinkers are now replaced with a first-time visor. And David Lanigan has got a 5 from 30 record when using blinkers or visor for the first time, and a £1 level stake would have netted you a profit of £51. So with the change of headgear to sharpen him up, I'm with Trevisani.
Trevisani, the one that appeals most in the 3:50 at Haydock. So we're on to the evening action on Thursday. We're going to be looking at 2 races from Sandown. The first one is the opener at 5:35. A nice handicap here, over 1 mile, 2 furlongs and 7 yards. 7 runners in this opener. What appeals to you?
Well, it's a gentleman amateur rider's handicap, so it's not the kind of race I'd normally get involved in. But the first port of call in these races is jockey Simon Walker. He's running at about a 35-36% strike rate in these this year. And he's on Palisade for Sir Mark Prescott, so that one has to certainly be considered. Won at Lingfield 2 runs back over 10 furlongs on the poly track. Was a little bit disappointing though at Yarmouth last time, finishing 2nd in a slowly run race behind Zane Arion. And you know, you look at his record since he's been running in handicaps. He's only won once now from 6 starts, and he's been beaten at short odds on 5 occasions. So I'm just not convinced he's entirely straightforward. I mean, this one, they've tried cheek pieces, they've tried a visor. He won in first-time blinkers. the visor was on again last time, as it is today. So even with Simon Walker, I don't think there's going to be much juice in the price here. And with that profile of often disappointing at short prices, I'm going to take on one of the likely market leaders, Palisade. And there were a couple that interested me. One of those was Zoffany's Pride for Andrew Balding. He won this last year with odds on shot Passover. And although disappointing in his two runs since handicapping, he's only a three-year-old, and I think there could be more improvement to come. But my main selection in the race is going to be number two, Compton Mill, for Ewie Morrison. This one earned an excellent speed figure when fourth over course and distance last time. That came on officially good to firm ground and may have been on the quick side for him, as he'd won on soft ground at Newmarket the time before. He also ran respectably on his only other course and distance outing, finishing fifth under Richard Hughes last year. Again, that was on good to firm. And I just think on as long as the official description of good is accurate and it doesn't quicken up too much, then I think the likely front runner, Compton Mill, could be hard to pass.
So Compton Mill, the one that offers the most appeal in the open at Sandown. Let's move on to our second race of our Sandown preview. And it's the penultimate race on the card, the 7.55. It's a handicap over seven furlongs. 11 runners here to choose from. Andrew, what would you be backing here?
Coptoon caught the eye when hacking up at Bath over the extended five furlongs, winning by almost four lengths at 10-1 in a field of 14. What was impressive about that performance was that at the time it was very difficult to win from the inside berth on the sprint track at Bath. Won that from stall one, beating horses drawn 10 and 9 into second and third. Went to Pontefract next time and was badly drawn in stall 12 and ran a blinder to finish third. The winner and second were drawn 5 and 4 and the fourth home was drawn in stall 2. So a great run for over 6 at Pontefract, badly drawn. Next time at Hamilton, dropped to 5 furlongs, didn't suit, kept on well, finishing 5th, going down by about 3 lengths. And then stepped up to 7 furlongs for the first time for his current yard over course and distance last time. Went down by a neck to a horse called Outer Space. Again, not best drawn. And led inside the final furlong and just caught on the line. Now they know, you know, that he stays this 7 furlong trip. I think there might even be more positive with him today. And I think Coptoon is a great bet here.
So Coptoon, the one that is the pick for Andrew in the penultimate race on the Sandown card on Thursday. Well, Andrew, can you just recap your selections for Thursday's races, please?
Yeah, 3:30 at Brighton, I'm going with Thames Knight, 3 from 6 on left-handed tracks. And the Haydock 350, 4-year-olds have dominated recently, and I'm going for Trevor Sarney from that age group. At Sandown in the 5:35, the Gentleman Amateur Riders race, I'm going to take a chance with Compton Mill for Ewie Morrison. And finally, in the 7:55 at Sandown, a good 7 furlong handicap, my best bet of the day would be Coptoon.
Well, as always, Andrew, thank you for your thoughts on Thursday's action. And remember that William Hill's Racing Radio will have all of Thursday's action covered from 1:40 p.m. Your studio team will be Gareth Topham, Andrew Mount and Kevin O'Malley. So make sure you tune in for their betting insights. Well, as always, Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.